All lines are now bridged.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining our HITECH annual report work group meeting. Happy early Thanksgiving to everyone. We'll get started. A brief roll call. We have Carolyn Peterson and Erin Murray, our co-chairs, Christina Caraballo and Brett Oliver. We also have Michelle Murray, our staff lead from ONC. And at this point, I will turn it over to Carolyn and Erin to get us started.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. I know we're getting really close to the holidays, and it's kind of a crazy year anyway. So thank you for making time to spend what we hope will be the last meeting on the draft crosswalk and looking at the executive summary table.
Yeah, and I will say hello to everybody as well, and happy early holidays to folks, and hope folks are very safe next week with family. I will say that it is a frenetic time right now in the provider space, and folks like Dr. Oliver, who we can now see on camera, hello Brett, are just doing a heroic job, and so our thoughts and really best of luck to all of the providers and frontline staff right now. But this today's meeting will be meant to finalize this crosswalk, get as close to it as possible, and get some more feedback and input. But again, also thanks to the ONC up front for some great work and getting cameras ready to go and recording going so we can see each other. That's fabulous. So you want to get started, Carolyn?
Let's do it.
All right. You want to kick us off?
Sure, why not? Let's see. So here's our agenda. Probably looks pretty familiar because we've been working in this space for a while. We're going to go through our meeting schedules really quick, get into that discussion about the draft crosswalks of topics, and hopefully get to the executive summary table today. That will be a new adventure for us, and hopefully will help us think about how everything fits together in a different way. We'll have some public comments, and then we will leave you to your turkey. So if we could have the next slide, please. Can we have the next slide, please? Okay, sorry. Looks like we're having some trouble with the slides, but hang in there.
Shoot, I thought I froze up.
That was because I was starting to write a comment to Erin about Go Ducks, so completely messed up the slides.
We created a time warp. Way to go. Way to go, team.
That's right. Go Pac-12. Okay, so I think I can recall these slides from memory. The next slide will be the schedule of our work groups, and that will show us that we have yet another meeting in December, I want to say about the 17th, where we will hopefully be done with the draft crosswalk and start to look at some of the text on the report. And then we will have meetings in January and February to wrap up the last few details before we present the report to the full HITECH and hopefully get it approved at the February meeting. And then the slide after that is just the meeting dates that shows when HITECH is meeting, which will be in January and February, since we don't have a December meeting date. And with that, we will launch into the discussion about the draft crosswalk of topics. I think I will wait while we get the update here, whatever's happening with the slides.
I can start with the crosswalk. You want to just maybe we can just read them out loud? What do you think?
Sure.
All right, I have it in front of me. You want me to start, Carolyn?
Yeah, why don't you go for it?
All right. So we're talking about the crosswalk. I don't know if you all, there we go. That's the crosswalk coming up there now. Look at that.
Yeah, it's the table.
All right. Hold on, that's the other one. It's okay. You go to the table too. All right, there we go, the executive summary. Yep, there we go. All right, let's do it. Start here. So the public health ones, whatever, so the bidirectional exchange of clinical and administrative data for public health purposes, right? So the gap there, we added bidirectionality. This is the one that came up several times from the HITECH itself, particularly data. We did talk about it in some of the other areas, but I think it was noted from the HITACH to make sure that we definitely stress the importance and need for bidirectional data. So I appreciate that. I think it's a good comment. And then it recommended HITACH activities. We had feedback about with the conducting a listening session to learn about successes, including how to expand their role and then address regional differences with HIEs, as well as compiling a set of useful health IT resources to communicate to the public health organizations. I thought these were very common sense updates, but curious what this committee thought.
Yeah, I agree with Aaron. I didn't find anything objectionable at all. It's a good addition.
Yeah, makes sense. Carolyn?
Looks good.
Cool.
Yeah, and it's good to see it reflect the bidirectional comments and the administrative data comments that we got at the HITACH meeting last week.
Yep, very much so. All right, next item here. You'll scroll down a little bit. Privacy and security, public health purposes, right? So the biosurveillance efforts, including contact tracing and increased use of telehealth and remote monitoring, face privacy and security issues. So the thing here is discuss the trade-offs between increasing interoperability, protecting privacy and security, and discuss and ensuring public safety during pandemics. The other opportunity there is to increase the clarity about the privacy security concerns associated with biosurveillance activities. So from a recommended perspective, I'm not going to read this whole thing to you, but I mean, it's basically clarifying the data being collected, identify educational approaches, encourage the clinical workforce on more re-education, and encourage guidance about privacy and security protections. I mean, I think this one we just accept. There's no red text to this, but this is pretty much cut and dry unless anybody has any heartburn on it.
Yeah, no, I think that one was okay.
Yeah, all right. Let's keep going. All right, vaccine tracking, which is coincidentally the meeting I just got off of before joining this one. All right, a key gap. Pre-COVID-19, questions arose about whether CDC and other groups might be tracking unimmunized populations where patients are obtaining vaccines, and if others can access that data. The opportunities to investigate whether predictive analytics can be used to aggregate and analyze the data to be more preventative and look at high-risk populations and help better target outreach, education, and response efforts and strategies. From an activities perspective, we need to have some additions to this text. So to identify opportunities and barriers for healthcare and public health organizations, highlight successful vaccine program interventions using predictive analytics, and assess how health IT can better support a balance of data being pushed versus pulled for public health purposes. This one, I want to make sure we're all good on the definition of push versus pull. Does that make sense to folks? Do we understand what that means, or should we better articulate that? What do folks think?
Well, it supports the notion of bidirectionality, which was a pretty strong and I think widely shared discussion point from the HITACH meeting. So I think in that sense, it is good for this purpose and use.
Brett, what do you think?
Yeah, I think for the audience that will read this, that's fine. I don't know that we have to define it any further. I do like that call out, though. It's one thing for there to be a repository for the immunizations. It's another to make it accessible or to even know that it's accessible.
Bingo. Christina, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I was just kind of reading over it again, but I like it. And I like the assess piece on it as well.
Good deal.
I just want to make sure that we don't get too much COVID in there. Not that that's not critically important, but as you probably were talking about in your meeting last hour, Aaron, like the complexities with this COVID vaccine situation is just get it out and keep track of it. And then we start getting into predictive analytics to analyze it, like, whoa, hold on. So we talk about it in the key gaps. This is pre-COVID, but I just want to make sure that that's what we're referencing or it's not a real.
Yeah, that's a great point. So let me talk in the hypotheticals here since this is on record. All right, there's a hypothetical possibility that Austin gets our first batch of vaccine in 2 weeks and that UT Austin is a distribution point for all caregivers in the city. And so I'm trying to figure that out. How do I do that? How do I pre-register, pre-get consent? Because consent is huge for vaccinations and sharing of vaccinating information and then track the vial information because depending on the type of vaccine, there's either 21 days between two shots or whatever else. So there's a lot to track that is not normally part of flu, influenza tracking, other things like that. So to the point of it, this exactly was the point that we were working through, is how do we proactively pull the information out of the system to see that real time so that we are able to do this and vaccinate and inoculate as many people as possible, because you've also got a time duration of how long that vaccine's good for, and after so much time, it's the lot's expired. So it is a logistics challenge, but the push versus pull is absolutely key in that, and that it has to be proactive. To your point, though, you can't let predictive analytics stand in the way of that.
Right. No, and I didn't mean that it wasn't important. It was just wanted to make sure that, because if we're going to talk that with COVID, then we're talking about, like, I guess I'm maybe too wrapped up in the here and now with what we have to deal with, to your point, Aaron. I mean, a patient's not going to know, I got the Pfizer vaccine, and so I need the 70 degree below zero freezer, and then they're at a pharmacy that's got the Moderna, you know, then down the road, and it's like, you know, CVS has got to know that you got the Pfizer vaccine, you need to go back to UT Austin Distribution Center, and that's where you get it.
Right. It's okay. I was told basically I have 1 week to figure this out, so that's great. All right. No pressure. All right.
Should we strike the predictive analytics then? I mean, I hear Brett, and I don't want to get lost in that. I mean, if a program's working, then let's highlight it.
Or would we be able to retain that concept but edit it to say successful vaccine program interventions with the potential for use of predictive analytics?
Yeah.
Because then you're keeping the door open, but okay.
I like that.
Cool. I'm good with that.
Cool.
Okay. I think we're all in agreement here then. Patient matching public health purposes. This one, there was no additions to it. I'm not going to reread all this to everybody, but I don't see any issues with it. I think it's common sense.
Yeah, to me too.
Okay. Barring any complaints, let's move on then. Will you scroll down, please? All right, longer-term opportunity there. It was more clarity on the longer-term opportunity of the international exchange of clinical data for public health purposes. And it was just really further saying that the experts consulted could include, right, CDC and so forth and so other. I think it's just more being specific and some specificity than anything else. There's no really change of any substance, in my opinion.
I agree.
All right. Interoperability. So exchange of health data more broadly across the care continuum. Interoperability needs to be increased across the broader care continuum. It is about collection of more complete data about a patient will help clinicians identify risk factors for procedures, offer interventions, and provide targeted care. In particular, the Interoperability Standards Priorities Task Force identified a need for specialty-specific minimum standards to enable closed-loop referrals and data exchange between clinicians. And so what are we proposing as activities? One, to learn more about recent developments in standards and exchange in areas of patient-reported outcomes, PROs, such as the 2020 ARC report, SDOH data, HL7's Gravity project. And then two, identify and help improve data streams where interoperability is a challenge, and just sharing broader data sets, particularly and especially within a pandemic, affects healthcare settings like long-term post-acute care and any transitions to and from those settings. For example, various care settings would benefit from increased consensus on data sets for exchange with that setting. I want us to look at that red text, and then Brett, particularly you, I want you to think of this with your physician hat on. So I tried to walk through and synthesize what we had talked about on the high tech. And so what I heard was that it wasn't just going between, say, a hospital and an LTAC or a hospital and home and that transitions of care outside four walls, but also that it's within the continuum of care within a hospital. So going from med surg to more acute, like, say, the ICU, or then to a step down, or going from the ED and being admitted out of observation into a med surg unit. It was also those and the types of data necessary between levels of care, within a care setting. And so the way we tried to word this was to basically encompass both, so we don't lose sight of the fact that there's also different varying data sets and data needs within an overall hospital, whatever, care setting. Does this make sense?
Yes, I mean, you're just looking for standards of exchange, right? I mean, let's make sure that when you leave the unit and you go to the floor, you leave post-op, you go to the floor, you go to the IC, whatever it is, that standard set of data can be exchanged and is expected.
Right. In my mind, I thought of report, right? So report, what happened to Aaron over the past 12 hours, right? And, oh my goodness, Aaron was admitted to the ICU. Okay, well, during report, there's usually those forms and whatever between levels of care that you sign off on. Okay, follow me, they've been color-coded, and they're transcribed to the EMR, right? Whatever, meds, standing orders, standing meds, all those things. And a lot of times, it takes a lot of consensus and change management to work through. So trying to word through that was kind of what this red text was about.
Yeah, I think it's helpful. I mean, that what we just discussed is, to me, is a small part. It's the outside of the four walls of the hospital that the black hole gets deep and wide.
That's true. That is very true. I think what the high tech was saying, though, is it's also within the hospital. Like, that's fair. It is true. I mean, Christina, what do you think?
As I'm reading this, I want to make sure we don't lose sight of the fact that we're trying to look outside of those four walls, as Brett just mentioned. I think when we were originally discussing this, it was kind of like looking at exchange beyond the hospital, getting out into the community settings. And I don't want to, this last piece in red kind of narrowed it back down. Like we went from going out and then we pulled it back in. And so I'm concerned that we've kind of lost sight of the outside. And I recently reviewed the ISP's recommendations on the closed-loop referrals for some work I'm doing within the social determinants health and looking at community-based organizations. And it's still very clinician-focused. Like, they allude to the need for these referrals programs outside of the hospital setting, but it was still a second tier in those recommendations, but I think it needs to be brought up. Like, I do think we need to start really focusing on how data is exchanged outside of the hospital as well. And this recommendation to me is saying, you know, the first one, we're talking to groups like Gravity and others, but there's not a recommendation to like explore these like a little further.
Would it work to edit it so that it says, for example, various care and community settings would benefit from increased consensus, or is that not enough?
Yeah, I think that would help a lot.
That makes sense. Look at Carolyn. There you go.
Knocking it out of the park today.
No.
You guys are teeing
like
up easy questions.
All right. Well, I think we're all good with that then. Good. All right. Okay. Michelle, does that make sense to you? Because I know we spent a little bit of time talking about this the other day.
Yeah. I think the high tech member was just wanting us to be specific about a concrete example. And that's as far as they went. They weren't trying to change your initial mission here.
Right, right. Makes sense. All right, let's go down. Okay, some fun ones here. Okay, with SDOH data, there's no red text in this one, so I think we are all in agreement about what those are, unless folks have issues with. I'll go to the next one, which is the coordination one. Let's go right into the red text then. So coordination of health IT standards to support interoperability, priority use is subtopic, right? So the key gap here, the Cures Act requires the high tech to annually review and publish priority uses of health IT and existing standards and implementation specifications related to the priority uses. The opportunity is building on prior work of the HITECH, establish an annual process for reviewing and publishing priority uses of health IT and related standards and implementation specifications. And the recommended HITECH activities was each year review and publish priority uses of health IT and related standards and implementation specifications. So let me sum this up into some basic English. The issue was, how often are we going to meet and go through this to look at and say, what is the process for it? How is health IT data being used for what context and at what specification and what level of it? And then at some periodic basis, right, either annually or whatever, we go through that and review them and make updates to those recommendations. So this is about standards development. This is about not letting too much time pass between each iterative review, and it's about staying current with how fast healthcare is moving and how fast things are changing. So that's sort of the baseline intent of this column or these columns. Michelle, did I miss anything with that?
No, I think that's correct. Both of these items were suggested by ONC kind of at the last minute, some fast-breaking work on these two areas, and it's a way to kind of build a little more infrastructure around them and get them in front of the HITECH sooner. The work plan is also another way these are coming forward, but these are longer than the six-month work plan. They're at least annual, if not more often through the year. There's a chance there could be a standing work group or a periodic task force formed around these. That's still being determined, but we just want to make sure it's kind of built in the infrastructure of the HITECH itself, and this was one way of doing that.
Right. But my point, and we were going through this the other day, was not to let too much time pass before the new standards come up for USCDI, so that the USCDI group would meet whatever that basis of time, quarterly, whatever's appropriate, to look at new standards. And if there's an emergency meeting because of a pandemic and a new classification needs to be pushed through and approved, so be it. There's a mechanism for that. Thoughts, questions,
I really
concerns?
Like this addition.
All right. USCDI co-chairs, thumbs up. I like that. That's good.
Yeah, I was reading kind of both of them together, and I'm glad I read the second one before making comments on the first one. The second one, as one of the things we talked about in USCDI and I talked about with ONC team as the co-chair, was just the need for or the idea that the HITECH becomes like a body that submits data elements to USCDI. So I think these are kind of intertwined. And I think that ISP is extremely important. They put a lot of work into thinking through what is needed and identifying those gaps. And I think this can lead to even looking at some of the data elements that we need to kind of expedite through the process, which I'd still like to see more of a track in USCDI on, but we'll get there.
Brett?
Well, nothing to add there. I like it. It's good additions.
Cool. Carolyn, you good?
Really good.
Yep.
All right. Let's go on down. Next section, please. There we go. This one really was just more clarity of adding the word help, further define versus further define. There really wasn't any other, from a long-term opportunities about the association between EHRs and patient safety. There was no.
Yeah, I can say something about this one. There's more data in the crosswalk document about why this was changed. What we had there before was a lot more in-depth around what ONC should do, and that's not really what this report's supposed to say right now. That's what a task force might say as a recommendation later. So we kind of pulled it back a little bit to make it more workable for this recommendation.
Yep. But the intent is still there, right? There's
yeah.
a correlation.
Absolutely.
Right.
So. It took out the part that said ONC should, took that out.
Just semantics. Okay.
Yeah, right.
All right. Assuming no heartburn on that one, let's go to the next slide. All right. The topic here. I mean, this one, there was no change to it. Everything stayed the same. Increased health equity across populations, location situations, just making sure things are even for folks across. I mean, nothing changed from our last discussion on that one. And the next section there, sharing data with the research community, overarching wise, nothing changed there as well. Again, this is all about learning more about gaps and standards needed for research community, what they're, you know, accountable for, that sort of thing. Again, more about ensuring that data can be shared appropriately. So assuming no heartburn on that, we can go to the next section here. Scroll down, please. All right.
Which brings us to privacy and security.
Yeah. One second. So we had the metadata subtopic real quick. Again, that was just clarify, right? So identify needed metadata standards. So there was no change on that one. Now it's privacy security. Go, Carolyn. Thank you.
Okay. Sorry.
No, all good.
Slightly ahead of you. It was peeking
up
at the bottom of it for me.
You keep me honest. I appreciate you.
Oh, well.
He's on the West Coast.
So here we are, privacy and security. The topic is beyond HIPAA protections for data generated outside of the HIPAA framework, rules for sharing subtopic. The key gap is that clear rules are lacking for data not subject to HIPAA protections. No surprise there. The immediate opportunities would be to support increased transparency and patient ed for business practices, other potential uses of patient health data when organizations share or license data to tech companies. And we need to come up with the recommended high-tech activity for this. So let's.
And as a reminder, that was one that Christina was suggesting, that we might want to, as well as having longer term opportunities, we also want a shorter term opportunity. Or we have the opportunity, but a shorter term activity for this opportunity.
Can you say that five times fast, Michelle? I'm just kidding.
No, I cannot.
No, it's good. So one of the things that I really appreciate that ONC did, and I've referenced this in numerous of our work groups, is some time back we had an API Tiger team. I think we used to call them Tiger teams back in the day. That actually, I think Lucia Savage and a bunch of people helped write the rules of the road for HIPAA and what best practice was, depending on what kind of, are you a covered entity, are you a developer, like where does HIPAA apply, where does HIPAA doesn't apply. You know, HIPAA hasn't changed 4 or 5 years, you know, since those were written. We could always brush those off and modernize them because they're good work products, right, the ONC did. I think it was the API FACA, if I remember right. That's a suggestion. That's one.
That's a good idea. So maybe it's like looking at past work that's been done and almost reinvigorating it, making some updates if needed.
And identifying areas,
yeah,
or points that have arisen as the result of new technology since that work,
mm-hmm,
was done that we need to include now or start thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think if you were able
to... Where are the gaps don't we have?
Yeah, if you're able to show that old work and then mirror it, you know, next to problems that we see with the newer technologies, I think that would be really helpful.
Yeah, and even just, you know, once that's modernized, just get it more out there in the world, right? So people have that, hospitals have that, share it with the big trade associations. It's just, it was common sense, and I was like, this makes sense. Like, you know, and I could share this even amongst the medical community, because now these days... It's inevitable. Every single day I have a clinician or surgeon or physician go, hey, I got hit up by this tech company. Can we build an app to do this? Like, okay, great. So there's a lot. I think there's a lot of education that could really benefit.
Yeah. You know, outside of our group, I'm sure, you know, we have maybe a better than average understanding of HIPAA. I still see a lot of people claim HIPAA stuff and really don't, you know, it's used in a colloquial way that I don't think, sort of like that Princess Bride phrase, I don't think that means what you think it means. If there are any Princess Bride fans out there.
And with the info blocking rule being more clear than it was in the past, it might be that there's something to be said about how to handle things or what to look for now in terms of potential issues. And then also a tie back perhaps to the Internet of Things topic.
Yeah.
I don't know that there was so much to be said about it when the previous work was done, but now we certainly have a better sense of what some of the vulnerabilities are.
Yeah, that's a great tie, Carolyn. I like that. For sure. Like refrigerators that keep at negative 90 degrees centigrade. An alert.
Right.
Sorry. it's been a day. I started at 3 in the morning.
Connected to the Internet, Aaron?
You know what? I hope they are, because anyways, there's a whole nother.
Windows 7.
Yeah, actually, they're all embedded XP, believe it or not. FYI, just know that.
And that's the tie back to Austin, Texas.
Yeah, I better not say any more since we're on a recorded line. Okay, let's keep going.
Oh, on this one, I have one more thing. Well,
yes,
if we're one thing we might consider is breaking it down by audience. As we kind of, Brett, you made a good point. It's like providers not knowing what they can or can't do. But I think it would also be helpful for technology innovators to understand like what they can and can't do and to be able to position their products better to sell to hospital systems or incorporate into the ecosystem. So just a little note to do it by stakeholder too.
That's smart.
I think that's a great idea. I think you could save some early startups a lot of aggravation when they finally get in front of clinicians and they're like, well, we can't do that. That violates this and this and that. Like, what?
Yes, you can. No,
yeah.
All right. Should we move on, Carolyn?
Yep. Let's do it. And then so for the other short-term, or I should say immediate activity, we just have a little bit of a word shift here in the key opportunities. Clarify that we're talking about in the near term for this beyond HIPAA patient consent topic. I don't think that would be controversial, but please share any concerns you have.
Michelle, I can explain why this happened. If you remember in the crosswalk we had, we usually have opportunities have assigned a tier in the past, but this particular one we had several activities but wanted different tiers at the activity level. So this was a way of repeating the opportunity in different tiers and fitting those activities to those opportunities. So just adding those phrases kind of clarified that it's the same opportunity but looking at a different time frame. So this one connects to the one two lines below.
Got it.
Makes sense.
Yep.
Okay. Let's move on to the longer term opportunities. So for the first one, beyond HIPAA rules for sharing, there's no changes there as a result of the high-tech feedback. If we go to the second topic, beyond HIPAA patient consent, here we have just a semantic change noting over time, and I think that's, again, a clarification along the same lines as what Michelle had just talked about in the sense of, you know, conveying the period for that opportunity. Any concerns here? Okay, sounds like we're good with that. And if we scroll down to the fourth topic on this page, privacy and security of synthetic data, in the last column there, there's a slight semantic change to assess whether the use of synthetic data raises any unintended privacy risks, such as the ability to use AI to re-identify the actual patients on which the data were based. I would think that's not controversial, but please bring something forward if you have a concern.
And I'll add that the reason this was changed was that high tech members have been asking for a more active verb than just listening in this case. So this is a suggested verb.
Nice suggestion.
And it's a little broader than evaluate.
We could use the word pontificate. I'm kidding. That's just fine.
Bloviate.
Yeah.
Better.
The thesaurus out. Hold on. Let's see. What's the word of the day?
Okay. Let's go to the next one. I think that's the last page. Here we go. So this is the target area, patient access to information. And again, we have a little bit of wordsmithing in the first one. The topic is safety and impact of mobile health applications. The gap, you know, increasing concern about the accuracy of mobile apps and the potential for harm. Opportunity being to provide reliable information about the quality of apps so clinicians can advise patients. So in the recommended activities in the third one, the verb explore the impact of the use of apps on patient challenges in collecting, accessing, using, and sharing health data. So how do we feel about exploring?
What was there before? Assess?
I think it was another listening, like looking into or listening to a session about the impact. So we made it a stronger word.
Yeah. And you could, I mean, you could say evaluate. If explore seems, explore is just another way of saying look at for our purposes, but evaluate would be a bit stronger.
I like evaluate on this one too.
I do think in prior years we shied away from evaluate, thinking that that brought up kind of technical things around measurement, which may or may not fit at this stage of the process. So I just want to point that out.
I guess I'm not sure how measure, like if you tried to substitute measure here, measure the impact, I think that doesn't feel like it quite fits right, but evaluate is stronger than explore, but it's not so prescriptive that it points to some kind of measurement. Exactly. I mean, yeah, I think measurement is a hard thing for the high tech to undertake, but evaluation seems like it's still within what could be done. Brett, Christina, Aaron.
I agree.
Yeah, I don't have a preference, I'll be honest.
Okay. Three votes.
We don't want to use explore twice.
That's right. It is there in number two. And there are no changes to the last item, the correction of incorrect clinical data and ramifications of exchange of this data. So I don't know that we have anything to talk about there. Do you have other thoughts about activities we should do or other kinds of work with this document today, Aaron?
No. I don't. I think this is. I mean, it was really clarifying and ensuring that we properly reflected what the high tech was asking us to reflect, right? I mean, it was some great feedback the other day, and so this is great. Again, our ONC friends are like magicians. I don't know how they turn our long, verbose statements into concise, concrete, assess actions, but it's fantastic. So,
all right. Does anyone have any other topics or things to bring up or discuss today?
Carolyn, did you want to talk about the full report outline at all?
Do we want to talk about the full report outline, Aaron? Are we ready to do that?
We can, but I mean, do we have another meeting? We should probably go back to the slides, right? See when our next meeting is?
I think our next meeting is in December.
Unless, yeah, Michelle, do you need information now on that, or is that something we can come back to it?
No, we're moving ahead to put together a draft for you based on that outline. So it's just if you have concerns, now is the time to let us know. Well, there will be chances to update that later, but it gets harder the further we get into the writing process.
17th of December.
And the December meeting is so late in December that it's really kind of finalizing the report at that meeting because you need to present to the high tech on January 13th, and people will be on break mostly between the holidays in December and January, so there isn't much time after your meeting in December to do much else.
The outline is pretty much in line with the outline we did last year, correct?
Yes.
I feel like we spent a lot of time
really
on it last year. So.
We did, and then the main addition is adding public health as a target area. So that won't be dramatically different in an outline form. But
it looks like in the outline, the changes that were reflected in the executive summary table are reflected in the outline also.
Yes.
It looks like they mirror pretty well. Yeah, I think I'm not seeing anything in the outline that's really jumping out at me in a concerning way. It's very thorough and complete. And I see we have the new public health stuff in there. I don't have any, nothing jumps out at me today, no changes to the outline.
It looks good to me.
Today. But what do you think, Brett and Christina? Do you have any concerns?
I don't.
No, not at all.
Okay. Well, that's good. We're moving right along. Is there any other feedback that you need from us, Michelle, or anything else that would be helpful in terms of working on the draft before our next meeting?
Yeah, I think I have everything I need as of today.
Okay. Can we go to public comment?
Sure. So we'll ask the operator to open the line.
Thank you. If you would like to make a public comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the queue. If you would like to remove your comment from the queue, please press star 2. And for participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. We will pause for a brief moment to poll for comments. There are no comments at this time.
Okay, thank you. Carolyn and Erin, anything else before we adjourn for today?
I don't have anything. Just gratitude that everyone was able to prioritize this meeting today and help us further the work so the ONC writing team can get a draft ready for us. I know it's a really crazy time, so I appreciate that.
It is a very crazy time. You're right. So I would again say thank you to everybody. Thank you again to the ONC. And if you see a care provider of any sorts, and even folks that are behind the scenes, give them a virtual high five, right? Stay 6 feet apart, of course, but give them a virtual high five or just thank them. Everybody is going 1,000 miles an hour. And I can tell you at least here in Central Texas, it's going to get even more frenetic over the next 30 to 60 days as vaccines are distributed, but we're getting there. There's light on the horizon and keep hope. So have a wonderful, wonderful and safe and socially distanced Thanksgiving.
And I second all of that.
And Brett, thank you for everything you're doing, sir, for Kentucky particularly.
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, but everybody's pulling their weight. I appreciate it.
They are. All right, y'all. Stay safe.
Thank you.
Take care, everybody.
Bye, y'all.
Bye-bye.